just came back from the other side. From the black, white world where the colors run dry. And all my demons feels like they disappeared tonight. Like I just broke into the morning light.
It is the fabulous Millie Pye on vocals, MK, with new music, Brigadier, Bring Me To Life. Phil Marriott here on your Sunday afternoon. Thank you for listening. Now it's time to welcome my guest who I caught up with earlier this week. One half of Hertz, it is Theo Hutchcraft. Theo from Hertz, good to see you again. I don't know if you remember, actually. I think I saw you about 2 years ago. I think it must have been the last album. Maybe three.
Maybe. It was for the last album, yeah, three... 2 or 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, with Adam last time.
Yes.
But you're on your own today.
I'm on my own in my lovely zone.
Yeah, does that feel quite liberating?
Well, I mean, not particularly.
Well, I've noticed on Twitter you've got separate profiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got separate messages for the world, that's
There's
why.
No band profile, though.
What we have, like, a shared identity.
Yeah.
But we have separate messages, you know.
I thought it was like the alarm bells were ringing. I was thinking maybe this is a signal of something to come, that you were going to go your own separate ways. But
no,
you're not,
no.
Obviously, because you have a new album out.
We have, yeah. And it's almost 10 years since we met, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it is this year. It's 10 years since we met and started making music. So,
Anniversary album, then?
Well, in a kind of way, it was like we weren't friends at the beginning. We started the band first, and then we sort of got to know each other. So... yeah, 10 years, long time.
Yeah, interesting title as well, Surrender.
Yeah.
What did you surrender to, if you did surrender to anything?
Well, I think it's a bit like freedom, you know. There's a freedom that comes with that word. It's also quite a dramatic word. I think that's always a nice way to begin with an album title.
Yeah, dramatic is Hertz as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's the sort of... that's the point, you know. I think that's what we love about... art, music, whatever, you know, it's,
yeah,
you've got to sort of push it a little bit, so there's no harm in being theatrical.
No, definitely not. And I think third albums, well, you know, history tells us that third albums can be quite difficult. Was it a difficult one, or was it easier than the last
one? Do you know what, it's one of the most fun well, it's the probably the most fun we've had making an album. Like, the first one is a sort of its own beast, you know, it takes you years and it's a very strange time. And the second one for us was particularly tough, not necessarily sort of to come up with an idea, but it was tough just to process. It was quite a dark, tumultuous time for us both, and the music kind of reflected that. And we sort of set off on a path to make this sort of operatic, dark album. And once you've sort of signed yourself over to that, the only way is to sort of follow it through. And so by the end of it, we were like, right, we need to get out of that mood. So we decided to just go do a 180, you know, and try and make an album that was showed the lighter side of us and just inspire ourselves in a different way. And by doing that and by relinquishing a lot of the sort of barriers and boundaries we'd put on ourselves, we just had a great time and made music while we were having fun, which yeah.
So you've
lovely.
Got some of the lightness back, because the last album, that was Exile, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was quite tough, quite dark, like
yeah.
you say. But I think that was the result of touring, because you were writing it when you were on tour, and it was quite
yeah,
a hard
it was,
slog, wasn't it?
We just came off the back of the sort of the whirlwind of a first album, which is nuts, and then went into that with the just with a bit of a weird mindset, you know. And I think it's nice to treat albums as its own little thing, and Exile was its own thing, Happen is its own thing, and now Surrender is a big pop moment for us, which is it's quite liberating.
Yeah, we can hear that already, actually. It's I wouldn't say it's a departure, because it's obviously sounding very hurt still, but I think it does have a bit more light than the last album.
Yeah,
definitely.
it just takes off a trail that we've sort of planted for ourselves before, you know. There's songs like Wonderful Life, Sunday, Better Than Love, all of these songs off the first album that have a similar mood. We've just sort of gone down that path, you know. So.
Did you have the fear that you might have alienated your fans from the last album? Because it was... I would imagine that a lot of your fans like that dark stuff anyway, because the first album's...
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think when we made the second one, it was the same situation. I think when we put out Wonderful Life, the first song we ever put out, and we put out Blood, Tears and Gold after that, this process started of people second-guessing the band that we were, and they're like, doesn't sound like this, doesn't sound
yeah.
like that. And then, so Exile, I think, was by making that brave move to go in a really sort of extreme direction with it, with what we wanted to achieve, and to come out the other side and have been supported, and we've done the bigger tours than we've ever done before. It's kind of all it's done is really given us confidence that we can just, if we just be ourselves and do what we feel like, then hopefully people just sort of get it, you know. And the key for us is being truthful, you know. And I think as long as the emotion's real, then it comes across as a powerful thing. And I think if we'd have made this album and tried to replicate a moody sort of darker atmosphere, it would have just come across as false for a weird purpose. So we just got to be, it's got to be yourself, you know.
Yeah, and the new album Surrender, you've worked with Stuart Price as well. Of course, has worked with some amazing bands and artists, The Killers and Madonna.
Yes.
Did he talk to you much about Madonna, or was it strictly just Hurts you were talking just about your album? And did you like,
well, he's
go to
got
the
like
or anything, or
he actually there's a good Madonna moment when we made this album where he used to be in Madonna's band as well after he made that album, and in his sort of archive in his studio he has a lot of individual song parts from her back catalogue, and one of the most amazing things he played me was the choir from Like a Prayer.
Wow.
Soloed by itself with no music, and we had it on full blast in the studio, and it was the original take of the choir that he
wow.
has with no music, and it was so brilliant.
That's quite an honour,
so
as well.
So brilliant.
Because I'd imagine
hear,
not
yeah.
many people have heard that as well.
No, and he was like, do you want to hear what the sort of bass sounded like in Vogue or whatever?
It's yeah.
like, okay.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
Well, it's a track that Madonna actually endorsed and used in her own show, Mech with Feels Like a Prayer, back to 2010. And a very special guest today is Theo from Hertz.
Radio. Have you ever considered acting? I suppose being in promo videos is kind of acting as well. I mean, we'll move on to a video that you've appeared in recently in just a moment. But Lady Gaga, of course, has appeared in American Horror Story. Even today, I heard the news that Pete Murphy from Bauhaus is about to appear in a horror movie.
Oh, wow.
Is that something that you'd be keen on doing?
Yeah, I'd be interested in it. I like making videos and I love film and stuff like that, you know. So it's definitely something I would be interested in. It's just getting the time, you know. Yeah. Making music videos is enough, takes enough time for me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is that quite a tough thing? Is that something you enjoy? Because when you see the finished result, it's kind of, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of amazing visuals, but it can take ages, can't it? I can presume it takes days to...
It takes a while. I love it. I love every single second of it because it's so important for our band. The visual element from the beginning of the band, it was absolutely crucial. So we just take a lot of care out of it, over it. We think about the visuals a lot when we make music, and yeah, they take a while, but I think we like the idea of sort of the pop magic that comes with a music video.
Now, you mentioned Exile, the last album. I saw you actually launching that album at Heaven.
Yeah.
One of the most famous gay clubs, I suppose, around the world.
Yeah.
Have you played many gay clubs? Not just PAs, but have you done, like, Pride festivals and stuff?
We have done... No, when we were in a previous band, we did some in Manchester.
Because I was going to say, because you're from Manchester.
We did Nightclub Poptastic in Manchester, which
How
was
that?
Brilliant.
That
was fantastic, yeah. And then... But not really much. Not much since, really. Like, not specifically sort of gay events. But it's not. It's not for want of, not for not wanting to.
Yeah, but not something that you've been approached to do or
no. I think
regularly.
I think we got asked to do Pride in Manchester once. I'm not even. It came up, but then I think someone like Kylie took our place.
Right,
well, which
it's
is
a good
fine.
One to
you
do.
Know, she can take our place.
It's one of the best ones to do, Manchester.
Yeah, I know. I used to live. Actually, on the next street down from Canal Street, my flat used to look onto Canal Street,
right?
And it was just non-stop for. Well, it was 7 days a week. It was non-stop out my window.
Did you get out of town that weekend then?
No, it was just
the
brilliant.
Yeah,
it was. I was just watched it all out my window. It was fantastic.
Now I've got a couple of questions from listeners. Dolly in London is asking you why you haven't hunted down the deaf fools that put together the Brits nominations. That's criminal, surely.
It is, but then sometimes you look at who wins and you think.
Wouldn't want to be in there anyway.
Wouldn't want to be second best. I'd rather not even be in the race than be second best. But I don't know. It's like, I go to the Brits, though, sometimes, because it's fun. I nearly got thrown out last year.
What, for kicking
table,
up a stink that you weren't nominated?
The table I was on nearly got thrown out because we'd been too rowdy, right? So, this is my opinion.
That's what the Brits need, though, now, because it used to be rowdy. It's not anymore.
When you're there,
it?
Okay, it's like a dinner. And it's music. Music's fun.
Yeah.
And music's ridiculous, essentially. Like, that's what it is it's a laugh. So we were on this table, and then, like, there was a table next to us with, like, politicians on it. I was like, what are they doing here? Get out. They shouldn't even be there. And it was all these fat politicians drinking champagne.
Well,
like,
it's press cotton chamber one, but that's fine.
Yeah, but it's just, like, that's all right.
Kick it off, yeah.
So they're sat there, everyone's silent. And at our table, all we were doing is making a bit of noise. And sort of shouting at Ant and Dec a little bit. This guy came over and went, if you don't calm down. But it's fun, you know. I just think it's fun.
That's what nailed it, though, because you were picking on Ant and Dec, shouting at them.
We weren't really picking on them. We were just shouting. It was just heckling. You know, it's like, that's the whole point, is that it's funny. But I like it. It's fun, you know. I love the idea of the Brit Awards, and I love the idea of the tradition of it. I just find it hilarious because it's just funny. And
you're not annoyed then that you haven't been nominated?
I'm not annoyed, you know. No. An award. It's great to win an award, but you don't make music to win awards.
There's always next year because the album's just coming out now.
We could be in the running.
I don't know if that actually, because it's weird, isn't it? How they time things with albums. It has to be in that bracket of.
It is. We often win. We've won awards in Germany before and other places. We've been to award shows in other, Adam tried to bring an award. We got won this award called a Bambi Award in Germany, which is like the big sort of like Oscar or whatever. It's like the award is a Bambi. It's like a deer, big golden deer. And Adam brought it back through as hand luggage on the plane, and they had to scan it in the airport.
Getting
and
in trouble
obviously
again.
All the German people at the airport know what that is, so everyone was like crowding around to watch this like golden Dio go through the x-ray machine. And everyone's like, ooh. We were just like carrying it on the plane.
Amazing.
Like an ornament.
Now, we've got to talk about the video, Bryan Adams' video, which I saw for the first time this morning, and I don't think you could have had a better, well, person to work with. Not just Bryan Adams, but Helena Bonham Carter, who has really thrown you about a bit.
She's beating me up the whole
time. She's beating you up.
That's essentially what I got myself into.
But the thing I loved about it was her quoting in an interview that she enjoyed it. It was the best experience ever. It was like cathartic for her to
beat
you up.
Well, I'm glad that she... do you know what? It was lovely. Like, Bryan... I did a shoot with Bryan because he's an amazing photographer for Zoo magazine, a fashion magazine. Then since then, he called me one day. He said, "I'm making this video. Do you want to be in it?" And then I was like, "Yeah." And then afterwards, he's like, "Oh, Helena Bonham Carter's going to be in it as well." I was like, "Okay."
I sealed it.
But I was like, "What?" I was like, "I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing."
Yeah.
And I turned up, and I was like, "Right, what am I even? What's supposed to happen here?" And then. So then she came, she was lovely, so humble, so just so sweet, you know. And I was sort of, I mean, she's a legend, and she's the coolest woman on the planet.
Yeah.
And Bryan was just like, "Make it like Streetcar." And I was like, "Okay, does that mean you've got to hit me loads?" And she went, "I'll hit you if you want." And then there was a bit where I said, "Look, you can push me over." She was like, half pushing me. I was like, "Look, if you're going to push me," I said, just sort of push me. I said, "Because you won't be able to push me over." She was like, "Of course I'll be able to push you over." I went, "You can push me, you won't be able to. It's all right." And then before he said action, she pushed me and I fell right over a load of boxes, and she was point laughing going, "I told you I'd push you over."
You were so encouraging it, so that's fine.
I came out with bruises and a red face from where she slapped me, but it was one of the best days of my life.
I think you asked for it though, didn't you?
I did, I asked for it.
Like anger therapy for her, really, isn't it?
Well, apparently, that's what she
like
said.
Like a punch bag.
But it was in between the takes. She was having a lovely time.
Yeah.
Everyone was having a lovely time. And then as soon as she, well, I mean, she's an actress, I guess. That's the whole point. But as soon as it switched on, it was, she was a terrifying figure to be slapped by.
never give up. It's such a wonderful life. Don't let go. Never give up. It's such a wonderful life. Don't let go. Never give up. It's such a wonderful life.
It's Freemasons on the Mix for Hertz. My very special guest is one half of that duo, Thea Hutchcraft. That is Wonderful Life on Gaydio.
Gaydio. Do you and Adam as a band, do you interact with fans on Facebook and Twitter? I mean, I know
sometimes,
you've got Twitter
yeah.
accounts, but do you do it from a work perspective? Or
sometimes. It's a great way for us and the fans to sort of communicate because they're spread out on all over the world and often sort of far away countries that don't get chance to we don't get chance to go to and stuff like that, so it's really good for them to have a sense of community and us to be able to stay in touch with them all. We sort of we communicate with them in bits and bobs, you know, but it's tough because there's a lot of them, you know, and you can't you've got to be careful not to sort of just turn it switch it on and off because people will go, why isn't he talking to me?
So a lot of Fruit Loops out there as well.
Well,
presumably.
I just like they're lovely, you know, they're lovely and they're very devoted, and I think that is without them we wouldn't have got this far. So it's like, I mean, it's a cliche to say, but it's in our case it's very very true because it's the fact that they allow us to go to these places all around way around the world is brilliant. So, and they draw fantastic pictures of us, pictures that equally make me laugh and make me gobsmacked how brilliant they are. So I'm very thankful for the artwork.
And I guess it's stuff that takes time as well. That's the most important thing, isn't it? When you're looking at stuff that people have gone into effort with.
It's mind-blowing for me that people, that the music has an effect on people in that way, you know? And that's why I just sat and signed 3,000 CDs and 1,000 vinyls.
Crab claw.
And my little crab claw. My hand turned into a little chicken foot by the end of it. And but I'll sit there and do that because it's what, 4 hours out of my day, but
yeah,
that's important for me to, it's an important thing for karma, you know, to people are spending this time and people bought the CDs, so you got to sit and give that time back, you know.
What can you tell us that you spoken about it earlier, the new album, what can you tell us about it that you haven't told anyone else?
The
maybe the methods of making it, were they different, obviously with Stuart Price as one of the producers?
It was, having him on board was really crucial, actually. It was the first album we made with three producers, and it was him, Ariel, and Jonas Quant, who's done our previous two albums. But what Stuart brought to it was a great pop sensibility, and obviously he's like one of the kings of electronic music, you know, so he's got a great grasp on the dancier songs that we did on this album, which was kind of new territory for us, really. Is and so he was really influential for that, and he's also the nicest man.
Is he
probably in the like top three nicest people on the planet? I've not met the other two, so for me he's number one.
Yeah,
but the whole experience of working in his house in LA was just magical, you know. What a guy. And just thinking of him gets me a bit teary.
Yeah, and he gets the dark stuff as well because he understands that, you know, the edgy pop, doesn't he?
He knows how to get the best out of a band, you know. I think that's his talent and his great skill is that whether it's Madonna, Killers, Take That, or his own stuff, or Scissor Sisters, who he worked with, it's like he gets the best out of what he's presented with, and for us that was very crucial.
I think you can really hear him in his sound as well. You can tell that he's produced something or worked with somebody on something. What's the thing that you could have done without since you started? And we're, like you say, you've been together as friends for 10 years, you and Adam, but
what could we have done without?
As a band, what could you have done without? And also, on the flip side, what couldn't you have done without since you started?
What could I have done without? It's a weird question. I don't know.
Is there a downside to you being in Hertz?
Not in any way, you know. And I don't... It's brilliant. And it's absolutely so much fun all the time. And it's... That's why I'm always very thankful and very grateful that we get the chance to do it. Because for four or five of the years we've known each other, we were just in Manchester on the Dole hoping that one person would come and see us play, and doing the gig after gig after gig with sort of a blind tenacity, and then one day they did, and that's why it's still very exciting for me, because it's kind of equal measures of success and not success. So at the moment it's still very fun. And also, what's not to like? There's not, really anything to complain about. The fact that you get to... Some people say it's like, get tired. Well, everyone's tired. Stop moaning.
Yeah.
People are tired that do all sorts of jobs. I don't like working. I don't work in like a factory or like down a mine. Or
yeah,
something.
True.
It's like, it's fine. People are more tired than you.
That's quite refreshing, because you do hear some people in bands or artists kind of moaning about, you know, the lifestyle, the regime of it. You've always got to do promo and you've always got to do.
I think those people, wherever they were in the world and whatever they did, they would be moaning. That's what it is. It's like Noel Gallagher said famously. He was like, when I step out my front door, I'm at work. And that's brilliant. And I don't care, because I can just go home and shut the door and I'm not at work anymore. And that's like, that's a good outlook, you know. I think for me, it's when I was a kid growing up, I grew up in Yorkshire in the middle of nowhere. Like, there was nothing around at all. And I couldn't go and see gigs or anything. And my only outlet was musicians and music and looking at these people and thinking, what life do they live? Like, I'd love to do that one day. And you listen to them speak and they telling these stories and wearing clothes that you could never wear. I couldn't wear those clothes in Yorkshire and all this sort of stuff. And you get so excited, and then you might catch one of them complaining and you go, do you know what? Screw you, because why are you complaining about that? Because I want to do it. And I always stuck with me when I heard people say complain about being in a band. I was like, step aside, because there's a million people that want to do it who aren't going to complain.
Yeah, totally. Listen, Theo, it's great to see you today. It's a nice way to finish the interview as well.
Yeah, very positive,
poignant,
very positive.
Yeah, very. Wish you all the best with the single as well, which is Lights.
Yes.
It's kind of got that 80s soul vibe about it as well, which is quite refreshing as well.
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, definitely.
A bit of Hall & Oates in there.
You can tell you've been in Hollywood.
There is. A bit of sunshine in it.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, definitely. And all the best with the album as well, which comes out, I think it's the 9th of October.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, all the best and good to see you.
Thank you.
Zoe Spakeman out on the mix for Hurts. Great to have Theo on the show today. If you want to check out the interview in full, head over to philmarriott.net. That's Lights. Check out their album as well. Their third album, Surrender, comes out on Friday.
Vanilla Properties of Distinction.
Hi, I'm looking for a reliable, high-quality...